Blog Talk Radio.
This is JJ Bomber. You are listening to Well Armed Radio.
Good evening, sheepdogs. Welcome to Well Armed Radio, where freedom is our best friend. Thank you for joining us in our weekly vigorous, relentless, and often ruthless pursuit of freedom. We are broadcasting live from the very well-armed studio in New Berlin, Wisconsin. It's my pleasure to speak with the most informed gun runners in the state. That would be you guys. You are your community's finest. And I don't want to be discriminatory here. We've got listeners from out of the state. Most informed gun owners in the country, we'll put it that way. And then even some non-gun owners. I've got my brother listens from California, and he's not a gun owner, I don't think. And we've got listeners from the Gulf Coast who hopefully they're doing well in spite of all the storms down there. With a face for radio and a voice for silent movies, my name is Nick Clark. I'm the president of Wisconsin Carry and the host of Well Armed Radio, and just a free man here trying to stay afloat in the sea of communism. Start the show with the usual warning, no sacred cows here. If you'd like to be a part of the show, you can call 563-999-3787, 563-999-8. Try that again. 563-999-3787, 563-999-3787. First 15 minutes of the show, open line, anything you want to talk about, call in. Put this show together last minute, and we don't get much live listenership this time of year, so nobody's in the chat, may not have anybody listening live. And for that reason, to all of you who are listening at some point in the podcast, great to have you with us, whatever time of the week you're listening to the show. So here we are, August 29th. We're bumping up against the end of the calendar summer. The official calendar summer, I don't know if that goes till maybe September 21st is like the official calendar summer. Let me see if my calendar even says it. Does it even say? So autumn begins Wednesday the 22nd. Now, I don't know if they call it meteorological summer. I mean, June, July, August, that's summer. School year summer, there you go. School year summer is wrapping up to an end here. I think a lot of schools are going back next week, starting the school year. So the June, July, August portion of the summer, the meat of the summer, the vacation-y portion of the summer is coming to an end. Got Labor Day coming up this next Monday. Hoping to do a yacht trip over to Saugatuck, Michigan this weekend. We'll see how the weather and the wind and the waves hold out. I haven't really checked the forecast, and you know, it's this far out. You know, I'm just astounded how terrible the weather forecasters are. And I don't know if they're getting worse or if it, you know, now with this new, if you look at weather forecasters now, it seems to me like there's a whole lot of woke going on with weather forecasters because they got to be African-American and female in order to get a job in meteorology, it appears, at least in the Milwaukee market. But the weather forecasting is so bad, and not just on the news, but I don't know where, like, if you Google Milwaukee forecast, it automatically pops up a forecast. Now, I don't know who, let me see if I can, I'm going to do it again. So I don't know where Google comes up at that. Let's see, Milwaukee forecast. And then it just gives you results. But it says, like, for example, Sunday, it's, let's see, for tomorrow, we'll just hit Monday for Milwaukee, a high of 81, precipitation. But it doesn't say who these are from. I must have Joe Biden's dementia. I can't even talk here. Chances of precipitation go from like 2% at 1 a.m., 6% at 7 a.m., 0% at 1 p.m., 4 p.m., 5. So that's the forecast for tomorrow. Again, it doesn't say, this is just Google's results. I have no idea. Maybe it's weather.com. Yeah, maybe weather.com looks like that's where these are pulled from. But okay, so whoever at weather.com puts here that forecast and the Milwaukee stations, they were all saying when I went to bed when I got up on Saturday morning, I checked the forecast and the chances for rain on Saturday were like 4%, 6%. I mean, just, you know, which is almost on days where there's no rain in the forecast, they put in that, you know, 5% chance of rain. They almost never have like a 0% chance of rain for a whole day. And, so Saturday we had in the Milwaukee area, we had storms all afternoon. And I get that, you know, the weather is the weather. It's not perfectly predictable, but I'm just amazed how bad the weather forecasters are. I mean, just terrible. Because if you, you know, to say at 8 o'clock, no, it was 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning, you know, 5 or 6%, that was the highest. I mean, on Saturday, that was the highest I saw when I got up in the morning for the Milwaukee area, 5 or 6% chance of rain. You know, that's what you see on days where there's virtually no chance of rain. And then even on days where there's like the pop-up showers, hit or miss, they put like a 20% chance of rain for those pop-up showers. They'll say a chance you could see an isolated shower. I mean, it just, we had tons of rain. I mean, it didn't rain all afternoon, but there was a lot of rain on Saturday afternoon, especially if like you were like north of Milwaukee, Menominee Falls. I mean, they got a couple hours of rain. And north and south of Milwaukee, right where we were on the lake, we did get hit with, I don't know, maybe it was 10 minutes, maybe it was 15 minutes of rain, maybe it was a little bit more, maybe it was a little bit less, maybe it was a half hour. It didn't. But that wasn't even in the forecast. And again, I don't know if it's just the new woke culture, the people that are in meteorology or getting into meteorology, at least at the television station level. Because see, like weather.com, I don't know. Do they have forecasters in each area? Or do the people on weather.com just go and look at the television forecasts for Milwaukee and then do a conglomeration of those? You know, whatever the 4, 6, 12, 58, take all those forecasts and do some kind of, I don't know. I don't know what the methodologies are for weather.com to come up with their forecasting or if they have their own independent forecasters. But it seems to me that there's probably some kind of, collusion isn't the right word because that has a pejorative connotation, but just some kind of, reliance on shared resources, some kind of shared reporting, just something, because they all seem to mirror each other. But again, it just shocks me how bad the weather forecast was the morning of. Now, I get it, like 6 days in advance. Okay, fine. It's hard to predict 6 days in advance. But the morning of, I mean, I don't know. Who knew there would come a day when the most accurate thing on the news was the weather? And that's not saying much. But had a nice little, so this week, I have a bad habit of buying stuff online after midnight or really close to midnight. It's just a really bad habit of mine. What was it last week? Last week there was one night I went to bed and I was like, you know, I really need to order myself a, I've got my boat, my yacht has a front anchor and a windlass, a nice Kodiak stainless steel anchor and anchor chain and then the rope. And the, but the, I don't have a stern anchor and I kind of want to have a backup anchor first because, well, you can always lose your anchor. That happens, you know, your, the rope can break or the shackle can break and you can always, sometimes you can get it jammed in a rock and you can't get it up and you got to cut the rope. I mean, that's happened as well. But, I like a stern anchor. One is a backup in case something happens with your main anchor, but also sometimes boats tend to oscillate in the wind. So when you're out there and you anchor and there's wind going, the boat will oscillate on the anchor back and forth with the wind. And maybe the current has something to do with it too. So sometimes I throw a stern anchor in just to keep the boat from swinging too much. That's just when we're hanging out partying. I also like to have a stern anchor if you're ever anchoring overnight. Stern anchor and or backup anchor, because that's when you really want to make sure you got maximum holding power. Because when you're falling asleep on the boat and you're not, look, if you're during the day and the winds pick up and seas pick up and the boat gets broke free from its anchor, the anchor set, you know, the anchor isn't necessarily lost. It's just dragging. You know, it's nice to have a backup anchor. A second anchor set, just more holding power. And when there's two anchors, you can kind of set them at like a 45 degree angle to each other. So if the, as the boat oscillates one direction, then the wind were to pick up, you've got an anchor that's straight set that way. So it's a straight pull on the anchor set. And then as the boat oscillates back the other direction, it's a straight pull on the, cause that's when anchors can break loose. If you're oscillating one direction, you get a big wind gust and you kind of start pulling the anchor at a little bit of an angle to the direction that it's, you know, set down into the, to the sand or the silt or whatever the bottom of the lake that you're anchored in is. Anyway, that's what I just, so one night I was like, is like, there's like, I really need to get a stern anchor. Boom, go online. But, you know, Google, Amazon, West Marine, what's the best anchor? You know, all of a sudden, 15 minutes later, I've ordered $700 of, the anchor was $350, 25 feet of stainless steel anchor chain, that was another, I don't know, 100 and something, 200. And then 150 feet of anchor line. That was another, well, the one at West Marine is like $260 for that. And then I found some online for, I think, 170. Anyway, $700 later. So I've got this bad habit of ordering stuff late at night. But one of the things that I ordered late at night was a brand new Trump flag. I'm like, cause I'm on Amazon, you know, you got your order. As soon as you're over $50, then you get the free shipping or whatever. And, or $20 or whatever it is, you get 25 to get free shipping. So I'm like, what else do you need? I said, oh, I need a new Trump flag. So I ordered that. That was another one of my midnight Amazon purchases. I'm riding my bike. I've had a Trump flag flying in my yard since just before the election. And when the election was over, you know, I pulled the yard signs, but I just didn't have the stomach to take the Trump flag down. I just felt so cheated. It's, you know, just my little continual passive protest of the election results from last November. I've still got my Trump flag up. It's getting a little tattered, getting a little worn. I bought a second Trump flag because the one's getting a little tattered and worn. I don't know the political persuasions of all my neighbors. I certainly know the political persuasions of some of my neighbors, but I do know that one of my neighbors is a big old lib. Sure, Kristlyn Wondrachek is a neighbor of mine. She's a school board member here in New Berlin, liberal that snuck on the school board pretending to be a conservative, got on the school board because there's no real media in New Berlin, which is one of the reasons that I've got a little side endeavor. The New Berlin Taxpayers Alliance is an organization, a group that I founded, and we had a decent following on Fascist Book before I got banned from Fascist Book. So but that's a way for me to get conservative. I've since come up with another method to get my information out locally with school board races, things like that. But nonetheless, so she's an attorney. her husband is, I don't know, he's got an engineering degree. I don't know if he works in engineering still or if he has a DJ business too that he does weddings and stuff. But I get a little bit of a thrill knowing that every time they drive by, not for sure, but I suspect every time they drive by, they see that Trump flag and it probably just irks them. They're probably just waiting for me to take that Trump flag down because my house is the first one. Our subdivision is just a small subdivision with large lot sizes, and most of them back up to like a wetland preserve. So they're split grade lots. I'm next to the HOA pond. I got my lot was the most expensive one, the premium lot in the subdivision. Then again, there's only like 20 houses over here in this development that I'm in. And so you come down a boulevard, and then you take a right, and you come into a dead end street that Foxwood Drive is the street that I live on in New Berlin, and it's a dead end. So everybody that comes into our little section of the subdivision has to drive past my house, and here's the Trump flag. So again, I don't know the rest of my neighbors who I know there's some pretty conservative folks live down the street. And in the Waukesha County area, New Berlin's a pretty conservative area. So you figure the odds are it's a 60-40, 75-25 area as far as conservatives go. And I know like a lot of neighbors walk by and I'll be out there like, love your flag, love your flag, love your flag. Sometimes I get a thumbs up from people driving by. I was riding my bike the other day and I was super crabby because I was just busy and stuff was, buried and stuff with work, business. But I go out to take my midday bike ride, just to get my exercise during the day, keep the blood flowing, keep the blood sugar down and keep the blood oxygenated. So I'm kind of grumpy. I'm running late, coming down my street at the end of my bike ride. I do about 5 miles every day. And some lady pulls up next to me in a black SUV and she's going slow. And I'm like, what the hell does this lady want? And I see in the corner of my eye, she's got her window rolled down. I'm like, oh, is she going to yell at me for being in the way in the road or something? So I kind of probably looked over the grumpy looking at my face and she's like mouthing. I can't see what she's saying. So I look back and I said, I can't hear you. And again, I was kind of probably had a grumpy look on my face, my resting bitch face. I have a resting bitch face anyway, let's face it. My normal look my resting bitch face is a frown. But so then she says, is that your house? Is that your Trump flag? I said, yeah. And she's like, oh, I love your flag. I'm like, oh, thank you. And so I managed to muster up a smile for her as she drove away. And then that was my old tattered one. So then I get this new one. So I'm sitting here thinking my neighbor, the one lib I know, Kristlyn Wondercheck, school board member, I can't help but wonder. She's like, look at that old ratty Trump flag. When's he going to take that thing down? I got home Friday night. My Trump flag came on Friday and I stuck up my brand new Trump flag. My new Trump flag, my old Trump flag was a Trump 2020, Make America Great Again, you know, the black, red, white, and blue. My new Trump flag, and I had to do some thinking about this one. I don't really want to get the Trump 2024 because we don't know for sure if Trump's running. I think Trump's probably going to run in 2024, but it's not even that. So I'm looking on Amazon Trump flags, and there's one that says, we saw my fiance and I see this one when we drive out to the Southern Kettle. There's one out by, I don't know if that's Wales or Genesee Depot area, but just a flag that says Trump won. So I like looked up on Amazon Trump won flags, and there's the same kind of color scheme, same font as the regular Trump flags, but there's one that says Trump won. Then underneath it, it says, I know it - you know it. And I saw that one. I'm like, all right, that's the one I'm going for. There was another one that said Trump 2024, save America. But again, I don't know we don't know for sure if Trump's running. It just, that one seems a little bit premature, and I'm not ready to just flush the fact that, we had a stolen election, which I think is the greatest crime in the history of our country, the greatest assault on freedom in the history of our country. You don't have a free and fair election. You don't have America. That's foundational and fundamental. I mean, I literally think that's treasonous. I think people should be, that's a capital crime. I think people should be in jail. Should it be a death sentence? I mean, death is one of the punishments for treason. I don't know. I think that I can't think of anything much more fundamentally immoral than in a free and, I don't want to call it a democratic society, but in an elected, representative consent of the government republic to steal an election, steal people's votes. I mean, that's, to me, that's a unforgivable, exceptionally heinous crime. And so I don't think a life sentence would be too harsh. I'm not against the death penalty in a general statement, not just because the reasons that I'm not against the death penalty in principle. I'm against the death penalty in no pun intended, in its execution, because I've just seen too much error, the criminal justice system. We know through DNA, through other things, there's innocent people that were on death row. Hell, I forget what the movie was. I saw a year or two ago, but there's, I believe, an innocent man. I think they know an innocent man in Texas who was put to death. A fire in his I don't know if it was his trailer or whatever, and they accused him of doing it intentionally. And they later discovered that based upon the forensic evidence, that that the fire started in a space heat or something. Anyway, so for that reason, I'm against the death penalty. From a practical standpoint, just because I'm not against the death penalty from a principled standpoint, but I'm against the death penalty from a practical standpoint, just because it's impractical, and just because it's so flawed. Our criminal justice system is so flawed, and to put an innocent person to death, that's a terrible, terrible thing. And I can't imagine the despair of a person being put to death who's innocent, who knows they're innocent, and here you are. That doesn't sit well with me. So there's people that deserve to die for their crimes, but because there's people that have been accused who are innocent, I mean, maybe there's a way, with video evidence, or, if there's, and even DNA evidence isn't as reliable as I think, but if there's a way with video evidence, example, terrorist attack, because even eyewitness, that's been unreliable. Eyewitnesses have been wrong in death penalty cases. Excuse me. So stealing an election, I think that's one of the most serious crimes I can conceive, one of the most immoral crimes I can conceive. But I don't know if I'm there with a death penalty for people who do that, but a life in prison for sure, for people who've committed those crimes, who participated in that crime. And I believe it was a crime. I believe it was all intentional, the stolen election this past fall. So my new flag, Trump won. I know it, you know it. Shiny, crispy nylon, red, white, and blue, that went up on Friday night, flying in front of my house. I was listening to Mark Belling this past week on WISN, and I like Mark Belling. I'd say I generally find his approach similar to my perspective on about 75-80% of topics. There's a few things where I think where we diverge. And one of them is, he made a comment this past week, and if I wasn't such a lazy, terrible podcast host, I would have pulled the audio. In the winter, I would have. In the winter, I have more time and I'm not so dang busy. And I would have been a good host and done my show prep properly and pulled the audio from his podcast and played it for you guys. But he made a comment. It wasn't a topic on his show. It was just a comment on his show that he was talking about a different topic. But he made the comment, about things that he think are irresponsible and some things that are irresponsible you should be punished for. And he made the comment, you leave your gun in the bathroom of a church, I think you should go to jail for that. That's irresponsible. And again, it was just one example he was trying to pull, but it's in a discussion about irresponsible behaviors. I don't remember what the greater discussion was, but, there's a talk and text line that you can send it. So I send a text. I don't know if the morning show hosts on WISN News Talk 1130, they monitor it, but I don't know if the afternoon show hosts do. But I said, should you go to jail for leaving a lighter on the counter in the bathroom? Should you go to jail for leaving your car running and some thug steals it, joyrides, and crashes into someone? I mean, leaving your car running could be considered irresponsible. That's some pretty significant gun discrimination, if you ask me. And again, Mark Belling's entitled to his opinion all he wants, but I'm entitled to my opinion. I think that that's gun discrimination. I think if someone said to Mark, hey, if someone left a lighter on the bathroom of a church, do you think they should go to jail for that? I don't think he'd say yes. I think he'd say, no, it's just a lighter. And he'd say, well, I'd say, well, more kids die in accidentally started fires. More kids die from playing with matches than die from accidentally shooting someone with a found gun. And I'm not talking about accidentally shooting someone in terms of, young kids with, there's 13-year-old gangbangers running around with guns in Milwaukee. I mean, but I'm talking about the genuine accidental, young child finds a gun, looks at it and pulls the trigger. I mean, that just, and kills themselves or someone else. That's pretty rare. It's happened, but it's pretty rare. And here's the thing. You leave your gun in the bathroom of a church. Like, I think the age of child, you got to be like 3 and under, where you're just too young. I mean, by the time you're 4 or 5, let's just say 5 or 6. I mean, kindergarten, first grade, you've seen TV. You're old enough to be taught. Every single house with every single child has a knife of drawers. And by the time you're, 5 or 6, you know how to open those, even if you got the child-proof latches and stuff. Again, those are just for the toddlers. Anybody older than 4 knows how to overcome those. So if you're 5 or 6, you're in a house full of dangerous weapons, lighters, knives that you have access to, and you don't just pull out a knife and start stabbing your sister because it's fun or because you saw it on TV or because knives are cool. So why should you be, if you find a gun, why should you point it at something, anything, yourself or someone else, and start pulling the trigger? You should be taught not to do that. You're taught not to pull a knife out of the drawer and stab yourself or someone else. And again, you can accidentally, and kids do, kids pull out a knife and they go to cut something and they accidentally cut themselves. But I'm talking about an intentional, stab. Pulling a gun and pointing it at another person. Kids don't accidentally stab their brother or sister to death, like meaning a penetrating, plunging stab. They might accidentally stab them if they were trying to cut open a package from the store, the blister pack from the store. But they don't accidentally stab their brother or sister or whoever playing with a knife from home, mimicking what they see on TV. But for a kid to find a gun, and when I say a kid, I'm talking about a kid who's old enough to have a rational thinking process. So your toddler type, I don't think a toddler should be, if a toddler walks into a bathroom in a church and finds a gun and they're too young to understand and they look down the barrel and start squeezing and pull the trigger and blow their head off, first off, that is a crime in Wisconsin because someone got a hold of a gun that was left unattended and harmed himself, herself, or someone else. But I don't think a 3-year-old should be alone in a bathroom in public, any public bathroom. And a church would be, because I don't think a 3 or 4-year-old should be going to the bathroom alone. Forget the fact that it's, there's creeps and whatever out there. I mean, if you're so young that you don't have the comprehension to not pick up a gun you find in a bathroom and then playfully point it at yourself and pull the trigger, or playfully point it at someone else and pull the trigger, if you're too young to recognize that that's not okay behavior, you're too young to go to the bathroom by yourself, honestly, in my opinion. So it's comment by Mark Belling, you leave your gun in the bathroom of a church, and he's a conservative talk show host. You leave your gun in the bathroom of a church, you think you should go to jail for that. That's irresponsible. Again, I just think that's an example of gun discrimination, an example of FOIC, firearm owner's inferiority complex. I'm pretty confident Mark Belling owns guns, and I think that that's firearm owner's inferiority complex. We're so used to the gun discrimination, we've bought into this notion that guns are somehow some greater danger than any other thing that pose great dangers, knives, matches. If you have a pool behind your house and you have a toddler in the house and you're not outside playing by the pool, you're inside the house, but the back door to the pool, to the backyard, isn't locked, and a toddler walks out the back door, a 3-year-old walks out the back door, falls in the pool and drowns, Was that irresponsible? Should a mother go to jail if her baby, or if not baby, if her 3-year-old waddles, okay, at 3, you're not waddling, you're walking. If your 3-year-old bounces around out the back door into your backyard and drowns in your pool, should the mother go to jail for that because it's irresponsible? Because it's certainly irresponsible. I mean, you weren't watching a 3-year-old. They went in the backyard pool and drowned. But I don't think Mark Belling would say that a mother should go to jail for that. He might, but I just don't think so. I listened enough to say, I can't see that being a position he would take. But when a gun's involved, oh, you should go to jail for that. That's irresponsible. That's blatant gun discrimination, in my opinion. And an example where conservatives, just even conservatives who are really conservative on a whole bunch of topics, they lose it on the gun thing. And even gun owners do this, even very pro-gun folks. That's why I coined the phrase. That's why I invented the term FOIC, Firearm Owner's Inferiority Complex. When you as a firearm owner self-discriminate, you treat guns, discriminate against guns in ways that you wouldn't against other dangerous objects, things, behaviors, that's FOIC. That's Firearm Owner's Inferiority Complex. So these other things, again, leaving a knife on your kitchen counter when you have a 3- or 4-year-old, 5-year-old, 6-year-old in the house, is that irresponsible? He wouldn't say yes. I mean, maybe a 3-year-old, he might say yes, but a 5- and 6-year-old, he wouldn't say yes. Leaving a lighter on the bathroom of the church where, a 3- or 4-year-old, in my opinion, shouldn't be using the bathroom by themselves in a public facility. If they did, let's say 5 is the age. At 5 years old, you can go use the bathroom by yourself in a public facility. If a 5-year-old walked into the bathroom and found a lighter on the counter, I think that's probably as dangerous to life as finding a gun on the counter. I really do. I think a 5-year-old might be enthralled by the gun, but even a 5-year-old should be taught that a gun is dangerous. And just like you're taught you don't pull a boiling pot off the stove, just like you're taught you don't pull a knife out of the kitchen counter and start swinging it at your brother or sister out of the kitchen cabinet, out of the kitchen drawer, kids should be taught the same thing about guns. Because, again, you know what a kid – you could be walking down the street with your kid and you say, well, we don't have guns in our house. Well, I don't have to teach my kids about guns because we don't have guns in our house. You could be walking down the street and, okay, you may not have lighters in your house, but your kid could walk down the street. I've been walking down the street and I find a lighter. I'll tell you what it is. A lot of times I think sometimes they fall off motorcycles. I think sometimes people, you know, they go to light their smoke and then they stick their lighter on top of the car or stick it on the hood of the car or stick it on the trunk of the car when they're lighting up a smoke. They drive off and it falls off. Because I've found on the side of the road full lighters, not empty lighters, full lighters, full of butane. I don't know if you find empty ones as well. The people just chuck out the window, litter bugs. But a kid finds that. And the temptation for kids to play with fire is huge. A kid finds a gun in the bathroom. Well, my example I was going to say is, even if you say, well, I don't need to teach my kids about firearm safety because they would never encounter a firearm, that's not true. You could be driving down, you could be walking down the road in a nice neighborhood where, and I say nice neighborhood, a transition kind of neighborhood where there is, you know, it's not a high, high crime area, but it's not the safest area. Let's say West Dallas, West Milwaukee. You're walking down the street with your kid. Your kid could find a gun. There could have been a thug getting chased by the police who had a riding dirty, had an illegal gun in the car, and chucked it out the window as they were fleeing from the police. Your kid could find a gun literally laying on the side of the road in the grass in New Berlin. Not New Berlin. Well, okay, it could happen in New Berlin, but it could happen in West Dallas, West Milwaukee. It could happen anywhere. You could have the police chasing thugs through backyards and the thug is armed and here's a 6-foot privacy fence and the thug throws his gun over that. You could have a 6-foot privacy fence where your kids can go out and play unsupervised and there could be a gun back there. In certain neighborhoods where it's high crime, where someone could have been fleeing through backyards from the police and chucked a gun over your privacy fence. What is my point? My point is the irresponsible person is the one who doesn't teach their kids about gun safety. So is it irresponsible to leave your gun in the bathroom of a church? Sure. But it's equally irresponsible to not teach your kids about gun safety. So a kid who's old enough to go to the bathroom by themselves wouldn't be old enough to know you don't take a gun and put your finger in the trigger and start pointing it at anything you don't want to destroy. Again, the fundamental rules of firearm safety. Treat every gun as if it was loaded. Keep the muzzle pointed in a safe direction. Know your target and beyond. Keep your finger off the trigger until you're ready to shoot. Those are four fundamental rules of firearm safety. You follow those, and there's redundancy there. You follow those, you will never have a gun accident. If you fail to follow all four, but you follow three of the four, you're okay. Treat your gun as if it was loaded. That's kind of, you know, a generic one. But if you keep your finger off the trigger till you're on target and ready to shoot, then even if you accidentally point your gun at someone, if your finger is off the trigger, nothing bad happens. You have to violate multiple rules of the fundamental rules of firearm safety in order for something bad to happen. You have to have your gun pointed in an unsafe direction and have your finger inside the trigger guard for something bad to happen. When I was a kid, I was hunting with my grandpa, and I, at the end of the day, we did a little target shooting, and they gave me the shotgun. I shot a can, and then I had gloves on. I was shooting with gloves on, thick gloves, winter gloves, and then I couldn't get the slide on the gun to go back forward. I leaned to the side, had the muzzle pointed in a safe direction. I'm jamming the slide on this Remington 870 forward. Well, I didn't, unbeknownst to me, I still had my finger on the trigger, pulling the trigger back. That's the reason that it didn't want to slide forward so easy. So I gave it a hard jam, and that was enough to reset the trigger, even with the weight of my finger on it. And boom, as soon as I jammed that slide forward, the gun went off unintentionally. It was pointed in a safe direction. So I had violated one of the fundamental rules of firearm safety. I had my finger in the trigger when I wasn't on target ready to shoot. But I was following the other rules of firearm safety and having, I think my brother was with me at that time too. I think he was with that day. But at least I was following the rule to have the gun pointed in a safe direction. There's redundancy there. If you teach your kids about gun safety, they don't even have to be perfect on gun safety. They just have to follow only, not violate multiple gun safety rules. So even if you think your kids, if you're never going to own a gun and you let your kids play in a secluded 6-foot privacy fenced backyard, your kids could still encounter a gun in many, many areas. Again, I think it's irresponsible for anybody to not teach their kids about firearm safety, and not just teach them about firearm safety from a verbiage standpoint, but let them experience a firearm. Because the fascination with all the media hype and all the television and movies and all, you've got to dispel that fascination is your worst enemy when it comes to guns. So even if you don't want your kids to own guns, don't want your kids around guns, in my opinion, to not expose them to firearms and firearm safety, you're the irresponsible one. Even if you don't want, teach your kids that guns are bad, if you don't take them and let them experience the power of a firearm, to discharge one and feel the power and see it destroy something, see a firearm blow a water jug away or blow a hole in a thick tree stump, to see not just a hole in a piece of paper, but just to see the power, so that you respect it, so that you point this at someone that you're going to kill them and you pull the trigger. But yeah, gun discrimination alive and well from Mark Belling this week. Last thing I want to talk about here in the show was Christy Noem in an interview with the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton show this week. You know, there's been some other things that Christy Noem did, and I didn't want to jump on her too quickly or too harshly because, I follow the old rule. If you don't watch the news, you're uninformed. If you do watch the news, you're misinformed. I know you don't get the full side of every story. I know there's things that you don't realize, but earlier this year when she refused or she vetoed a bill that would have made, transgenders in men's and women's sports illegal, she claimed that it would have, that she supported that. But, it raised my eyebrows. And again, I didn't know the issue intimately and I didn't study the bills intimately. And she kind of equivocated and clouded the issue and suggested that it wouldn't have stood up a court challenge. And it raised my eyebrows, but I didn't hold it too much against her. I just wasn't so sure about Christy Noem. Well, now I'm off the Christy Noem train. I was never both feet on, but I liked the fact that she never shut down her state. I liked you know, just her unapologetic comments towards the coronavirus, coronanoia bullshit. But she was on the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton show, and now she vetoed a bill that would have protected individuals from company vaccine mandates. There was a bill that was sent to her desk that said that in South Dakota, businesses can't force individuals to get vaccinated. And so she comes on the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton show, and she starts pulling the Constitution card and pulling the Republican individual rights thing, and starts pulling the Constitution, starts pulling the private companies rights thing. She hides behind this notion. She said, I don't want to tell private businesses what to do. And the next governor, if I set the precedent of telling private companies what to do, what might the next governor do with this precedent set that we can tell private companies what to do? And this is such specious bullshit by Kristi Noem. First off, anytime the Democrats feel like overstepping the Constitution and taking away individual rights or businesses' rights, they just do it. So to say, for Republicans to say, well, I don't want to do this because I'll set a bad precedent and then Democrats will do it, that's such bullshit because Democrats will do it anyway. Democrats don't need a Republican to set the precedent of violating, stepping over some line that has never before been crossed over. They'll just do it when they want to, when the Democrats want to do it. But Republicans will never do it to the side of protect. But here's why I say this is such specious bullshit. Because again, Democrats don't need an excuse from Republicans to take away anybody's rights, businesses or individuals. But for Kristi Noem, a Republican, to pull the Constitution card as an excuse to not protect individuals' rights. Kristi Noem kept saying on the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton show that she was so concerned about businesses' rights. She doesn't want to tell a private company what they can do. But here's the thing. I pose the question, whose rights are more important, the rights of individuals or the rights of businesses? Because what we're protecting here with these vaccine mandate prohibitions, true, that might violate a business's right to operate as they see fit, but it's protecting an individual's right. I think that that's a conservative would put the rights of individuals over the rights of businesses, especially on something like these vaccine mandates, especially with something like an experimental vaccine. Look, in Wisconsin, we put the rights of individuals over the rights of businesses all the time. Businesses can't prohibit guns on company property in your own personal vehicle. If Kristi Noem was governor, well, I guess she'd say, well, she'd veto that. Well, I don't want to tell a private business what they can do. So if a private business wants to prohibit guns and on personal vehicles, even on their property, then we should let them do it. Kristi Noem, I'm now convinced she's shady as hell. And she has to know it. She's using the conservative angle as some kind of like bionic shield when it's actually a trap. We tell businesses what to do all freaking day long. We tell businesses they can't make you work 12 hours without a break. We tell businesses they can't make a trucker drive 24 hours straight. We tell businesses they have to pay you overtime for working more than 40 hours in a week if you're an hourly worker. We tell businesses they can't make you do dangerous stuff. If you're doing certain dangerous stuff, you have to have safety precautions. The law says that. OSHA regulations say that. But, oh, we can't protect an individual's rights when it comes to vax mandates because it would infringe on a business's right. That's so jacked up. And I don't believe for a second that Kristi Noem even believes it. I think Kristi Noem is a Chamber of Commerce Republican. She's got the Chamber of Commerce lobby donors that are telling her what to do. And I just say, Kristi Noem is not someone that I trust. I mean, people have been bandying her name about for potential vice presidential. No way, not for me. I don't trust her one bit. Do I think she's a conservative? Well, I think she's a convenience conservative. When she can make it convenient, when it doesn't affect her donors or whatever, she's not a freedom first conservative. Because if Trump was a freedom first conservative, and again, some things he got it wrong on, example guns, Trump was pretty weak on guns, but on the things he understood, he was a freedom first conservative. He didn't care what the big drug lobby said, big pharma. You know, he was a freedom first conservative. And Christy Noem to say, oh, I don't want to trample on businesses' rights. Well, so you're going to trample on an individual's right to not have a vaccine, experimental vaccine shoved in their arm. So you're going to put the business rights over individuals' rights. That's jacked up. If it was just telling a business what to do, like if we were going to say to businesses to shut down, like shut down for COVID. Oh, I don't want to tell business what to do. Like, right. That's fine. If there was a bill that banned businesses, well, let's say if there was a bill that banned businesses from closing, if there was a bill that said businesses must stay open throughout the pandemic and she vetoed that, I would say, okay, you're giving the business owners the right to choose if they want to stay open or close. I would support that. So in this case, she's like, I don't want to take away a business's right to choose when it would come to something like forced shutdowns. But in this case, she's saying she doesn't want to take away a business's right to operate as they see fit, but she's willing to take away an individual's right in order to protect a business's right. That's jacked up. I don't trust her. I don't think that's principled. I don't think it's the right decision. I think individual rights come first. I think businesses do have rights. I think private businesses have rights. But I think individual rights should trump businesses' rights in most circumstances. It's still a case-by-case thing. Do I think a business should be able to, or excuse me, do I think a private person should be able to wear whatever they want to work? No. I think that a private person should have to wear what your employer tells you to wear to work while you're working. But this isn't just this vaccine mandate isn't just a while you're working thing. They're telling you how things that are your personal life outside of business, and they're putting the business's rights over. Do I think a business should be able to tell someone that they can't in their personal private time? I can't think of a good example for that. I'm trying to think of a good example of something that I think a business, oh, here's one. Should a business be able to force a woman to have an abortion? If a woman gets pregnant, should a business be able to tell women that they can't get pregnant while they work there? Should a business be able to, when a business hires a woman, let's say they want to hire a woman, they say, look, we hire women, they get pregnant, then they leave. And so we want to hire someone. Look, if you want to have kids, that's fine. We need to know because we're not hiring women who want to have kids. We're looking for women who won't have kids for at least 5 years. They want to commit to 5 years without going on maternity leave. Should we let a business dictate that? I mean, I think if it was upfront at the beginning, we should. Yeah, we should say to a business, yeah, I actually think that's illegal. I think that's discriminatory. I think right now there's laws against that. But I would say a business should be able, I think a business should be able to hire only men if they want to. I don't want to tell a business they have to hire 50% men, 50% women. So I do think businesses have rights. But do I think a business who doesn't want women to have kids for the first 5 years that they work there to go on maternity leave, do I think that business should be able to force the women to take birth control? No, I don't. That's a bridge too far. I think a business should be able to say, look, we want a commitment. We want 5 years without you getting pregnant, but you know, because we're going to train you. We're going to invest a lot of money training you, and we don't want you to leave and go on maternity leave because 50% of women that go on maternity leave never come back. You know, again, if they wanted to make that as a condition of employment on your initial hire, I'm totally okay with those kinds of things. But then the bridge too far would be, should a business be able to force you to take birth control to enforce a part? No, I don't. I think that's a bridge too far. Should they have some other mechanism to enforce it? Maybe they have some kind of monetary penalty. Look, if you do get pregnant in the first 5 years, you know, it's grounds for termination. Again, I don't even know if a business would want to do that, but and then you have to, or if, let's say, if you get pregnant and then you go on maternity leave and then you choose not to come back to work, then you owe us, you know, a monetary penalty for the to compensate us for the investment that we made in training you. I mean, something like that would be legit. I mean, I would support that. But I don't support individuals' rights universally. I don't think an individual should be able to do whatever they want at work, say what they want at work. But again, this is – so there is still judgments that need to be made on a case-by-case basis. But this one, I think Kristi Noem's judgment is way off. Oh, I don't want to set the precedent of telling a business what to do. Bullshit, Kristi. Your state tells businesses what to do every single day. You're telling me you have to have unemployment compensation. You tell me you have to have workman's comp insurance, all stuff. You tell businesses what to do every day. But now when it's a chance to protect individual rights, you don't want to tell a business what to do. Bullshit. You're just taking the side of the Chamber of Commerce over the side of individuals. And I think that's bullshit. And I don't trust her. I don't trust her as far as I can kick her. So, yeah, Kristi Noem, I wouldn't say I'm throwing her under the bus, but she's off my list of people who I'd ever want to see running for president, whatever, so on and so forth. I just not a fan, not a fan of Kristi Noem. So that's what I had for the show this week. Hopefully we'll get some podcast listeners. Last week we had the most listeners that we've had in quite a while. I think it was because I had my fiance post. Because there was gun topics with the Broadlands golf course thing, I have my fiance post a link to the show over on the Wisconsin Carry Fascist Book group. I'm a principal guy. The podcast, Well Armed Radio, so many times it's non-gun topics. And in spite of the fact that I'm the president of Wisconsin Carry, and I don't think anybody would blame me if I took advantage of a little privilege in promoting my show on the Wisconsin Carry Fascist Book Group. If it's not pro-gun content on a particular episode, and today I had some of the stuff was pro-gun, but it just, like, the majority of the show wasn't. I just had the one topic about Mark Belling and his gun discrimination on his show. And to me, that wasn't enough to justify posting to the Wisconsin Carry group. But yeah, so we had more listeners last week than we've had close to all summer for last week's show. But hopefully we got a good number for this week's on the podcast. Always feel free to shoot me a message, nik@wisconsincarry.org, and I would be happy to hear from you. Otherwise, you guys have a great week. Next weekend, so I just want to give you a heads up, next weekend, holiday weekend, don't know if I'm doing a show on Sunday night or not. Kind of depends on the weather, kind of depends how the weekend goes. Again, we're hoping to take the yacht over to Saugatuck, Michigan. If we can't get across on Friday because of the weather or because of the waves and the winds, then I'm probably still going to, we might go to Racine. And then we're planning on coming back Sunday, which usually means that I might be back in time to do a show. It depends on what topics come up this week or some stuff comes up that I feel like I can't wait to talk about on the show. If we do make it to Michigan, we're leaving Friday. And if we make it to Michigan and then the wave forecast changes for Sunday, our bailout day is Monday. We might come back Monday, in which case I can't do a show. So don't know, maybe not for a show next week. You guys have a great week. Carry on and be well armed.
This is Sniper Chick Julie. You've been listening to Well Armed Radio, and I have to know, is that a gun in your pants, or did you just really enjoy the show?
Stop listening to the bombastic loudmouths on the radio and television and the internet. To hell with them.